you just don't know how to relate, we've got a great opportunity for you coming up here on Thursday, March 21st, from 6 to 8 p.m. in the Stew. We'll be offering another Making Connections with Young People workshop. It is a great opportunity to come and learn about the ministries that we have here, not only in the church, but out there in the community through those school partnerships. So come and join us, get some skills, gain some confidence, and step out with us in faith and serve in this way. All you got to do to register is go to the website or check your email for a link and let us know that you're coming. Can't wait to see you guys there.
And thank you, Scott, for that information. We look forward to seeing everybody at our workshops and what a great opportunity they are. If you're interested in being a mentor right now, we have two programs that we're working with, MCM Middle and East Middle. If you're interested in that information, you can get a hold of me. My information is here. Contact me and we'll get you plugged into one of those programs to help walk and talk with the middle schooler to help them just have a better life. Most of you know about Pathways, but for those of you new to Shelby Christian, this is for you. Pathways is our on-ramp to membership and involvement. It's comprised of three separate sessions to educate you on who we are as a church, what we believe, and invite you to be a part of what we call our community of changed lives. We schedule these normally on the third Tuesday of every month. Our next session is quickly approaching, so if you're thinking, yes, I need to know more about this, or you're kind of curious, you want to get involved, check out our website today. You'll find it under the Events tab. Click on Pathways, and there you can sign up. We make it easy and enjoyable while offering a meal and childcare. Can't beat that with a stick.
The phrase you'll hear us say every week is, let's go love God, love people, and watch Him change the world. God keeps doing that right in front of us. In case you miss it, here's some baptisms that happened last week. Let's celebrate with them.
Good morning, church family. How you doing? I want you to look to your neighbor and say, I think you could have used that extra hour of sleep this morning. Hey, as you're standing to your feet, we just want to welcome you in. We're just so glad that you're here. We're just 3 weeks away from Easter. How many's ready for that? Oh, man, I'm ready for it. I'm ready to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Never gets old. Amen. So shake somebody's hand real quick next to you. Tell them that you're glad to see them this morning, and we will start. We're going to worship God no matter what happens. In the good times and the bad, He's still worthy of all praise.
And I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. So yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Sing this out. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. same, God. You are the same. Come on, declare it. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same, God. You are the same, God. You were providing then. You are providing now. You are the same, God. You are the same, God. You moved in power then. God, move in power now. You are the same. You are the same.
Can you just praise Him because He's worthy in this place? Last Sunday night, we had our worship night. If you wasn't there, we introduced a few new songs. And one of the songs that we introduced is called Evidence. It just talks about, I see the goodness of God in my life. And we need to recognize when we see the goodness of God. Amen? Because so many times, we focus on the things that are happening that aren't so good. And I'm reminded that if we write down some of those prayers that we've had in the past, then God reminds us of the things that He did answer that we forgot about. Because it's easy to forget all the things that you prayed for in the past, and you're like, God, where are You right now? You're right now, God. I need You right now. But if we are reminded He's faithful, He's been faithful in the past, He'll be faithful today and in the future. You believe that this morning? Let's sing Evidence. Us all here today. We thank you for the goodness, and the evidence is there, Lord, that you've worked time and time and time again. Just faithful as a heavenly Father, looking down, Lord, you're our provider, you are our healer, you're our deliverer, you redeem us, and God, you saved us. So we love you today, every day. Because of your goodness, because of who you are. And God, we thank you for Dave and the word that's going to be brought forth, God. We thank you that it's anointed, and God, that it will rest in our spirits today and grow into something that you want it to be, Father. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name we all pray. Everyone said, amen.
Man, I'm glad you guys are here today. It was so cool in here Thursday night. Thursday night there, you know, we do our meal before service. And so there were just some things that I was trying to help with outside and kind of running a little bit late, actually, myself getting in here. And so I came in, got ready, and we're already singing. And we get to the last song before I have to come up here. And I just feel a tap on my shoulder and look around, and it's a guy, Todd, that I've been praying for a couple years. And I'm like, hey, what's up? And he said, today's the day. Will you baptize me tonight? And it was before I ever got on stage, and I was like, yeah, let's go. And so it was the coolest night. And so we're just praying that for somebody that's here today, this could be that day for you. You could be sometime if you haven't already felt it, that in the next few minutes, you're going to feel something that says, today's the day. Today's the day to get it right. I'm going to see real quickly, how many of you have seen the movie Ordinary Angels already? Raise your hand if you've already seen it. Okay, six of us. We almost filled a role. All right. If you haven't seen it yet, let me encourage you to go see it. It is a great, great movie. In fact, it may or may not be on at Franklin Square at 1:10 this afternoon. I'm just saying. But it's a great, great movie. It's actually filmed most of it in Louisville. It's like in our neighborhood. In fact, there will be things that happen in the movie. And I'm going to try really, really hard to share some stuff in the movie and still not be a spoiler completely, okay? All right. But there are always the things that happen in the movie that... yeah, most of you guys in here will remember. Because most of you guys in here were already on planet Earth in January of 1994. Does that by itself stimulate something in your mind? January, I believe it was the 16th, 1994. I remember that day very well. January the 15th, 1994 was a Sunday, and we had been at church, and we had done something on Sunday night, and my family had gone over to Blake and Kelly's house, and we were just right over here, and we lived in Partridge Run at the time. And so, like, that's like, what, 30-second drive from right over here behind the church to Partridge Run? Blake looked outside at about 9 o'clock. He goes, Dave, you might want to head home. It looks like it might be freezing out there. Nothing was predicted. You guys remember that, right? It took me 30 minutes to get to my house from there. The biggest mistake that I made of the night after that was I pulled down and parked in the garage. Because the next morning we woke up and there were 24 inches of snow on the ground. Our son was 3. I've got videotape of him jumping off our front porch and disappearing into the snow. All right. So that's kind of that's the era of time this is in. But this particular movie, you got to go a little bit before that. Go back like to 1989. The movie begins with this wonderful couple that's having a baby. And this baby is born and they are so excited. But in just the next scene, you fast forward 5 years and that young mom has died. That little baby that was born in the first scene is now 5 and in desperate need of a liver transplant. And that's what the movie really is about. This guy, Ed Schmidt, who is the father, it's played by Alan Richardson, the Reacher guy, okay? He plays the dad in this. And Sharon Stevens is this lady that just out of nowhere decides that she needs to help. She's played by Hilary Swank. In fact, the way she decides that is she has her own set of issues that she's battling, her own demons that she's battling in her life. And she happens to be at a convenience store somewhere in Louisville. And as she's getting ready to pay, she looks down and sees the newspaper rack, the Courier Journal there. And there's an article, the lead article on the front page is about this father, this young widower father, who's now trying to fight for the life of his this young guy has lost his wife. I got ahead of myself, sorry. And so Hilary Swank, the lady she's playing, decides, I need to do something to help. And she goes to the mom's funeral, doesn't know a soul. It happens to be at Southeast Christian Church. She goes to the funeral, sits at the funeral. When the funeral's over, she goes up and introduces herself to this guy and says, I'm so sorry about your wife, and I'm so sorry to hear about your daughter and the battle that she's in. If there's anything I can do to help, please let me know. Well, that sounds great, doesn't it? That sounds great. But if you're the person and there's this stranger, you're kind of like, you're not mad or nothing, but you're like, okay, yeah, thanks. I don't know who you are, but yeah, thanks. Thanks for showing up today, whatever. Well, as the movie progresses, she really gets serious about this. This lady, a real lady, this is a true story, gets serious about this. And so she shows up at their house and she gets to know the guy's mom who's helping him take care of the sick girl and an older daughter as well. And she starts trying to tap away at some of their financial struggles. Really what the movie is all about, though, is about all these people that are in desperate situations looking for hope. That's all you really need to know. People that are hurting, that are looking for hope. Because as soon as you understand that, now the movie becomes very relatable. Because you may never have a situation where you have a child that is dying. You may not have a situation where you have to give up your spouse at far too early of an age. But every one of us in here has had a situation where we're hurting, and more than anything else, we just need hope. We just need hope. And so we can relate to that. And it unfolds throughout the movie. But it's just so painfully obvious early on that this poor guy is hurting. Now, if you've ever seen any of the Reacher series, you know this guy, Alan Richardson. He ain't no little dude. I mean, this guy can go bear hunting with a stick. I mean, he is cocked. And he can't fix it, no matter how strong he is. There's nothing that he can do to fix the situation that he finds himself in. And he's hurting. Odds are pretty good that to some degree, we've all experienced hurt as well. Now, how does hurt come? Hurt can come in all kinds of forms. It can be physical hurt. It can be emotional hurt. It can even be spiritual hurt, church hurt that is very, very real. But we understand what it is to go through pain. If you've lived long enough, you've experienced grief or depression, the loss of a loved one, something that's come up quickly as a storm. Some of you have been around here long enough to remember a few years ago, I first introduced here, at least, the story of the buffalo. We've talked about it a few times since then. But if you weren't, and you don't already know this, buffalo are incredible. They have this instinct in them. If you go out to the plains like the Colorado and you see a herd of buffalo out in a field and they see a storm coming, they have this instinct in them that tells them, do not run away. Don't try to run and hide. Because what they've realized is when they try to run from the storm eventually catches them, and then they're running in the storm. And if it's a storm that's got like hail and whatever, they're just getting pummeled for longer. But if rather than running from the storm, if they charge the storm, they run through the storm, and they still have to experience some pain, but it's a lot less because they get through the storm and move on rather than trying to run with the storm. And it's amazing to think that God created buffalo that would figure that out. But what if we figured it out? What if when those storms of life, like in this movie with losing a wife, having a sick daughter, you know, medical bills, what if rather than trying to run from the storms of life, we charge the storms of life? If you've got your Bibles with you, I want you to get them out, open them to John chapter 11, or if you've got your phone or a tablet or however you look stuff up, John chapter 11. I don't have time this morning by any means to read through the whole thing, but I want you to have it open and I'll point out some specific things along the way, okay? Because it's a story. It's probably the most real story of Jesus' time on earth and a human relationship, a very human relationship, to, at least till the very end, very human, that he has with a friend, with some friends. And there's these seasons of waiting that are never easy. Right? I mean, some of you are really struggling. It took me a while to say easy and right. Waiting is not something that we do very well, is it? Why is it so hard for us to wait? Somebody told me a true story, real recently about a guy that was trying to catch a flight out of the Fort Myers airport. And I don't know if it was because there were hurricanes out in the ocean, whatever, but flights were all jacked up all over and flights are being canceled and delayed and everything. And so there's this, some of you that fly have been in those situations when you're trying to get on another flight and the line is enormous and everybody thinks their flight is the most important flight. And so the true story, this lady is trying to do the best she can to help get people assigned. And then this guy walks all the way up past everybody else, all the way up to the counter and leans in and is like, you got to get me on another flight. And she's like, sir, all those people you just passed, they're trying to do the same thing. Please wait your turn. We'll get to you. We'll do the very best we can. And he starts yelling at her, you don't know who I am. You don't know who I am. I would have loved to have been in the airport that day. Because as I was told the story, the lady gets on, you know, that little thing they talk into, you know, and they tell you to come to the gate or whatever. She gets on and she says, attention, passengers, we have a man who apparently doesn't know who he is. So if any of you are missing somebody from your party, please come to this counter. You're like, that would have been the greatest thing in all the world to be there at that moment. But everybody kind of cheered and this guy, you know, had to go to the back of the line and all that. And everybody there, but like, I would have been so happy. You know why? Because we love it. We love it when we see someone get what's coming to them. We kind of love that. But what about those times when things aren't resolved? What about those times when you feel like someone could intervene on your behalf or show up or stand up or speak up, and they don't? Instead, they're absent. They're nowhere to be found, or they're silent. It's one thing when it's a friend or a coworker, but what about those times when you felt like God didn't show up? Those times when the hurt's too much and the pain's too deep, and those moments when your desperate need isn't met. Said another way, what do you do when God doesn't do what you think he should do? Come on, let's be real. We all got those moments, right? Where like we've got the answer and we're just dying to share it with God. And God, here's how you fix this situation. I can't do it, but I know what you need to do. So why don't you do it? We've had those tearful moments, quivering lips. We don't understand the bad things that are happening. And we don't want to say, God, where were you when I needed you? In fact, there's one scene in the movie where this dad is in the midst of the biggest part of the struggle, and he's by himself, and he just looks up at this kid and says, what did I ever do to you? You ever felt like that? I have. More times than I'm comfortable admitting. More times than I'm comfortable acknowledging that I'm like, hey, God, I'm on your team. I wear the white hat. I'm one of the good guys. You can show up anytime you want to. Just hanging out here. One of Jesus' closest friends was a guy named Lazarus. Jesus knew him. He knew his sisters. He used to stay at their house. The girls would cook for them. Jesus would hang out there. And Jesus gets this word that Lazarus is gravely ill. Now, all the Bible says is they sent word to Jesus. We assume that meant they had a messenger run ahead to tell Jesus. He's just a few miles away in another city. But the days of email and text messaging, even phone, that's not real. Somebody has to run there, and they go and they tell Jesus that Lazarus is gravely ill. In other words, Lazarus is dying. And in John chapter 11, verse 3, it says, so the sister sent this word to Jesus, Lord, the one that you love is sick. They're calling in their trump card. They're calling in their favor. They're like, okay, we've got this going on. We know Jesus. Jesus, can you come and help us in this situation? You're always healing total strangers. Now it's Lazarus. We need you to come and intervene. But then verses 4 and 5 tell us this. When Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness will not end in death. Now, here's something I want to give you a little bit of a spoiler, okay? If you're actually reading this in your Bible, an actual paper Bible, and you've got a pen, I want to encourage you to underline or circle the word end. Jesus says this will not end in death. At the end of the story, this part of the story, Lazarus won't be dead, but he says, no, it's for God's glory so that God's son may be glorified through it. And then John tags this in. Those were the words of Jesus, but John tags this in. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister, who was Mary, and Lazarus. There are two very unique statements here. The first one by Jesus, this sickness won't end in death. You got to trust me. I got this. And then John points out, Jesus loved Martha and Mary. Don't forget that reassuring statement. Because in those times when you feel like Jesus should be showing up in your life, you need to be able to somehow grasp the memory that Jesus knows and still loves you. He loves you. Because what you think would happen didn't happen. You would think that if Jesus got the word that his best earthly friend was dying and was very sick and was only a couple miles away, he'd be like, get me the fastest donkey you can find. We got to go. But verse 6 and 7 says, so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, let's go on up to Judea. He gets this urgent, passionate request from people he cares about, and he hangs out for 2 more days. There's some dynamics that are going on in this story. From everyone's perspective that's hearing Lazarus is sick, they want Jesus. Jesus isn't leaving. From everyone's perspective, there's waiting. Waiting. that waiting is painful. Think about it. If you're Mary and Martha, where is he? They're waiting. If you're one of the disciples or other friends that are around that have heard what's going on, there's waiting. If you're Jesus, there's that difficulty of waiting. Let me ask you this. How are you when God makes you wait? How do you do when you've been praying for something? And you've already prayed plenty. I mean, you said the prayer at the dinner table. Why hasn't it happened yet? No, you've been praying for a week or a month or maybe years for someone you care about to get well, for a prodigal to come home, for your finances to get better, for your marriage to improve, for whatever, whatever, whatever. And you're waiting. A God who seems to be late at times. Maybe you've been trying to buy a house, but the market changed rapidly and you didn't get the house. You've wanted children, but it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. Or like Ed in the movie, it happens and then one of them gets sick. You keep waiting for promotion at work, but the person in front of you just keeps on putting off their retirement. And so you wait and you wait and you wait. Guess what? Extended waiting can be discouraging. We spend much of our life waiting, but for all the practice we've had, we're not very good at it. So we ask God to intervene. God, would you please come on and fix my marriage, heal my aging parent, help me make the team, transfer my boss. We even sing about it. Even when we don't see it, you're working. We say the right words, but waiting is hard. And in this moment of pain, instead of charging the storm, they're waiting, and it's hard. From the disciples' perspective, they're wondering. Because going back to Judea, there were already those that didn't like Jesus. And him going back up there and them going with him could have been somewhat dangerous. But Jesus explains to his disciples that Lazarus isn't dead. He's just sleeping. What? They don't understand this veiled reference to the fact that he had died, but that he was going to come back, because it's all a foreshadowing of what's going to happen with Jesus. You go on down to verses 14 and 15 in John chapter 11. Look what it says. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. All right? Y'all ain't getting something. Let's put it, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there. That's hard. So that you may believe. But come on, let's go to him. See, he's setting up what will happen in just a few days. But the disciples have no idea what's about to unfold because of the foreshadowing. Jesus wants to make it clear, I waited so that you would believe. That's hard. You know what? It's even hard when you're on the backside of it. When you finally got the answer, but still don't like that you had to wait. Been there? In some situations, that's how it will be until we get to heaven. Sometimes on this side of heaven, we just don't have answers. Life and death doesn't make sense. You know, and we're just like, God, come on. And there's just some things that we'll know when we get to be there and we get to see him as he is. But waiting on that is hard. And as someone who's in one of those seasons right now, I really struggled typing those words this week. I struggled typing those words for myself, but I also struggled typing those words knowing that some of you are in similar seasons right now of waiting and wondering, feeling numb. The pain is so potent and strong that you're just trying to survive. In fact, it's a victory that you're here sitting in a seat or watching online right now, because it's just, you're in a true survival mode. And here in John chapter 11, everyone's just waiting, but they're also wondering. Realize that God is still on his throne, even when it appears he is silent. because he knows that while we're waiting and wondering, he knows that the storm of pain is very real and we're wounded. So as Jesus is making his way down to Bethany, he knows what he's going to meet. He knows that Mary and Martha are wounded. And Martha comes out to meet him, and she said something to Jesus. And just a little while longer, Mary's going to come out separately, but they both said the exact same thing. Look what they said. They looked at Jesus, and they said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." All of a sudden, whose fault is it? All of a sudden, in their words, it's Jesus' fault that Lazarus is dead. Because they're acknowledging their belief that if you had been here, we wouldn't be going through this right now. They had to hurt Jesus. The frustration, the anger, the pain that was there. Their tone conveyed this one level of acknowledgement of, we believe in you and you let us down. You let us down. That's what they say outwardly. But it's even worse inwardly. Inwardly, they're screaming at the top of their lungs, "Where were you? Where were you? Where were you when we were hurting so bad? When we needed you so desperately? When we were in a situation that we didn't know how to deal with? Where were you?" Have you ever asked God that? If we're honest, we've all got the same answer. We've all got the same answer. We're like David in Psalm 1 when he wrote the Psalms in Psalm 119. In verse 84, David wrote these words, "How long must your servant wait? Come on, God. How much longer? While you're waiting and wondering and wounded, we got to remain faithful. Keep our focus on Christ and trust in his timetable, not ours." That's hard. You've experienced some how long moments. Some of you are fighting to keep your marriage together, and it's been years. Some of you have tried to figure out how long will it be until my child stops rebelling, or until my 401k climbs out of the gutter to where I can actually relax a little bit. How long am I going to have to wait to buy that wedding dress? Did you know that the phrase "how long" appears 20 times in the book of Psalms? What's that tell you? That the one writing of most of the Psalms had some how long moments and knew exactly what that feels like. David, when he says, "How long must your servant," he's just being raw and honest during a difficult and lengthy season. So whether you're the future king of Israel or two sisters who were close to Jesus and thought he was your best friend, or whether it's you just trying to determine what your next step's going to be in following God's will, here's what I know. You can take this to the bank. The delay of the divine can be frustrating to followers. But the more we realize the character of our timeless, eternal God, the better understanding we'll have when we are waiting, wondering, and wounded. Remember, we learned that both Mary and Martha came separately and said, "If you'd been here, my brother would not have died." When Mary says it, Jesus, being Jesus, responds by affirming to her that he is the resurrection and the life. And she's like, "Yeah, I know, I get all that in the end." And then he says, "No, I am the resurrection." And then Mary comes out and she gets really emotional and she starts to cry. And it's not just any woman crying. That's hard enough. But it's a woman that Jesus really cares for. And she starts to cry. And you know what he does? Some of you know exactly what he does because you grew up in church. And you went to Vacation Bible School and church camp and all those places where you got a prize if you could memorize a verse of scripture. And you chose John chapter 11, verse 35, because it's the shortest verse in the Bible. When Jesus saw her crying, guess what he did? He cried. Some of you just went King James on me. He wept. That's what it says. He wept. Jesus wept, you know? Because what we need to understand here is that Jesus responds differently because he knew exactly what they needed. Everyone processes hurt in life differently. Jesus knows what you need. In this situation, Martha needed a lesson. I am the resurrection and the life. Mary needed love, and Jesus wept. I find great comfort in knowing that Jesus knows exactly what each of us need. And so we can rest assured God's going to meet, he's going to meet you in the waiting room of life with exactly what it is that you need. In this movie, and we've gotten permission to show some scenes, in this movie, there's this scene when Ed, the dad, has been sent by his mom who's living with them, helping them. He's been sent to the grocery store to get some stuff for dinner. Watch what happens in this scene.
Get my noodles?
What?
The noodles, the egg noodles. They're on the list.
Oh, I guess I forgot.
What do you mean you forgot? I already made the stuff and all I need is the noodles.
Sorry.
Well, did you forget when I gave you a list?
I don't know, Mom.
I write lists so you won't forget. I knew you weren't going to do it.
I said enough! Just leave it. Said if I don't catch up on payments, I'm gonna have to start taking her to some public hospital 2 hours away.
Son, don't lose your faith over this. Come on now. Gotta hold strong.
My faith? You know how many prayer lists Teresa was on? 17. And now they got Michelle on all those same lists. A lot of good faith doing me.
Did you catch that? A lot of good faith doing me. You ever felt that way? In that moment of pain, in that moment of hurt. Now, if for those of you who've seen the movie, you know how God chooses to intervene, and I'm not going to spoil all that. But in the big picture, it's through a woman who just feels called to get involved and help out these total strangers. A woman who's got her own pain. You know one of the greatest ways to deal with your pain, whatever it is? One of the greatest global things that I can encourage you to do to deal with your pain, whatever it is, go help someone else with theirs. Because it will suddenly take the focus off you and put it on someone else. And this woman, in the midst of her own personal pain and struggles, starts helping and starts seeing a purpose in life. Now, if you grew up in church, you know how our John 11 story ends. You know what happens next in that story. Jesus has been crying with Mary, and he tells the people, "Roll the stone away." And they say to him, those of you that knew Jesus wept will also remember the true King James, "No, don't do that. He's been in there 4 days. Surely he stinketh by now." Right? The dude is rotting. He's been in there for a while. But they roll the stone away, and Jesus cups his hands over his mouth and yells in a loud voice, "Lazarus, get out here." That's my translation. And suddenly we see a dead man walking. Lazarus is there in front of them. My friend Tommy Oakes was a preacher when I was doing youth ministry and spoke at a lot of our teen events. A lot of you guys that are adults now remember Tommy Oakes speaking at Summer in the Sun and other places like that. And when he would tell this story, he would always say this, you know, you realize that in Jesus' day, nobody got their own grave. Everything was like mass tombs in these caves and stuff like that. So it was critically important that Jesus called Lazarus by name, because if the king of the universe had just rolled the stone away and said, "Come out," everybody in there would have come walking out. That's the power he had. But he calls his friend, "Lazarus, come out here." He walks into that situation and he brings that hope that is desperately needed. And understand, he didn't just bring the hope to Lazarus. He brought it to everyone else who saw that. From everyone's perspective, there was waiting. From the disciples' perspective, there's wondering. From our perspective, we're wounded. But God, whatever it looks like is going to happen, we always got to remember, but God. Now, we still live in a fallen and broken world with messed up stuff going on, but God. And God steps into the middle of our pain and does what no one else can do. And from his perspective, he's been working all along. At the heart of why Jesus waited is he wanted people to realize that he was the Messiah. And that's at the heart of why he stayed there for 2 more days. Lateness on closer investigation here is actually genuine love. That's what it was. Jesus loves people so much, he wanted them to see with their eyes, know in their mind, and feel in their heart that he was the Messiah. It's why the Apostle Paul was able to write years later, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who've been called according to his purpose." Notice in Romans 8:28, it does not say all things will be good. Wouldn't that be awesome? But that's not what it says. Notice it also doesn't say that when things aren't good, God caused it. That's not what it says either. It says that God will work all things out to the good. We've got to get a mental picture of a chess game, a spiritual chess game that's going on. And there's an adversary that is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And he moves and looks at us and says, "Check." And if we surrender enough, we allow the champion to make his move and say, "Checkmate," and work all things out for the good. Your purpose is found in something greater than yourself. It's in charging the storms. I want you to watch one more really short clip here of an AA meeting that this lady goes to.
"I got so tired of that feeling. Empty. No meaning. No nothing. I had to find something beyond myself. Some purpose. That's when things changed for me. Started anyway. So that's my advice. Find a reason to be here that's bigger than you are."
Thanks, man.
Did you hear that? Did you hear what the man said? Find a reason for being here that's bigger than you are. It's not a huge spoiler for the movie that Hilary Swank's character is an alcoholic. That comes out really early in a scene that you're like, oh, chick's got problems. But then she starts helping and things start changing. But then there's a season where it kind of goes back and her friend gets her to go to this meeting. And right before that particular clip, she's been asked to introduce herself. And she's like, "Hi, my name is, and I'm not an alcoholic. I just came because my friend made me come." Something like that. And that's when this old boy speaks up and says, "You know, What I found that really made a difference is when I realized this is bigger than me. There's a purpose that's bigger than me. And you got to find your purpose. You have to find your reason to be there that's bigger than just you. In the backdrop of your hurt, God's love changes the way that we look at things. What appears to be your greatest setback could easily be your greatest setup. God loves you as much as he loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So know this, the truth gives us hope when we're hurting, and we all need that because we live in a fallen, broken world. And in that world, there's repercussion of sin. There's all kinds of things that go on. But we need to remember, God doesn't cause it. And when those bad things happen, and we're struggling, but God steps in. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. Satan comes as a thief who's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, but I came to give you life. So remember, in those moments you want to say, a lot of good face doing me. Don't forget the backdrop of his love. And don't forget what John said. Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And he loves you. So as we finish, what I'm inviting you today to do, I'm challenging you to trust a God whose unconventional methods unfold according to his timetable, not yours. Because our life isn't just some Disney movie that doesn't matter, where in the last 10 minutes everything suddenly works out and we all go away to live happily ever after. That'd be great, but that's not real. What you need to decide is whether or not you believe that God is still God and whether he has hope to offer you when you're hurting. And understand this, whatever healing Jesus could have brought or did bring to Lazarus was only temporary. Old boy still died and is waiting for the second coming when all of us will live forever. I'm convinced he wants to write an incredible story in your life that isn't over, but he can't do that until you hand over the pen and let him start writing. The bottom line is, even when it doesn't make sense to me, I'm still going to trust God. I'm still going to trust God. Would you guys stand with me? Todd was baptized at the end of our service Thursday night. We still got plenty of time today. Shoot, they even changed the time today just to give us more time. All right? So if you need to do something today to get it right, let's get it right. Bobby and Jason are over there. I'll be right over here. We'd love to talk to you about that. Let's get this right. Let's get this right before we leave. So as we move, move to get your communion emblems if you haven't. Move to give. Move to the prayer stations and pray. Or make a move over there and talk to these guys, and they'll tell you what it looks like to surrender your life to Jesus. Let's just move.
My song shall ever be.
just going to keep playing for a second. And I want to encourage you in this moment to just bow your heads and make this time personal. Remember how marvelous He's been when you've been in a season of pain. And God showed up even when you had to wait. Dear God, in this very simple gesture, we take a small piece of bread, but as we do that, we remember your body that was surrendered for us. And as we drink this little bit of juice, we remember your blood that was poured out to cover all of our sins. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake together. Guys, we are coming up on the Christian Super Bowl. We are coming up on the best of the best. Three weekends away, all right? And it is the time, I say this every year, it is the one time that those people that you have been praying would come and at least check it out are most likely to say yes, Easter and Christmas. That's facts. So we've got multiple services planned for this year. We've got our regular times of Thursday night at 7, but we've also got Friday night at 7. And then on Sunday, start preparing now, especially you guys. You guys are the only ones that have to change on Sunday. On Easter Sunday, early service is at 9 instead of 9:30. You are welcome to come at 9:30 and catch the sermon. But if you want to catch the music, come at 9, okay? And we do this just so we can get everybody in here, have all the parking spaces, get the lot cleared for the next crew to come in at 11, okay? So 9 and 11, and then Thursday and Friday both at 7. And what we're going to do this year is kind of walk through the Passion Week, at least the events. And so on Thursday night, we're going to really focus in on the night in the upper room, the night that he's going to be betrayed, the night that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And so we'll really hone in on that. And then Friday, of course, we'll talk about the trial, the crucifixion, all those horrible things, but yet we call it Good Friday. We'll talk about that stuff on Friday. And then on Sunday, well, you know what's going to happen on Sunday. He's coming. So that's what we're going to do. So here's the deal. We also know it's spring break weekend, all right? So we know that some of you are going to make family memories. You're going out of town on spring break. And so Thursday night is perfect because they still got to go to school Thursday. Come to church Thursday night, leave Friday, whatever. But for those of you who are still in town, we wanted to make each time a little bit different. So you can come once, you can come all three, you can bring friends all three. That would be the biggest win of all. So we need your help. We got these. They're everywhere out there. Grab you some invite cards and start passing them out to friends, neighbors, whatever. We got bumper stickers like we had before, and if you've used ours before, they go on and they peel right back off at the end of the season, all right? So get your bumper, and if you've got especially... You want to finish the announcements? Excuse me. Especially if you've got a place of business or a house that is on a major thoroughfare somewhere, come up and get one of these yard signs, if you would, and put it out just so that we can spread the word, spread the word, spread the word. We've got more of them downstairs as well. So if you want one, put it in your yard. But especially if your place of business or your house is like on a major thoroughfare where a lot of people go by and see it, please help us out and get one of these signs and put up. And that would be awesome. Also, not this Tuesday night, but next Tuesday night, is our March Pathways. And if you haven't already signed up for it, get online and sign up. And man, thanks for being here today. It's going to be an awesome, awesome, awesome Easter season. Thanks for being here today. Go love God, love people, and watch Him change the world. See you guys.